All right, what is up, everybody? Welcome back to the World on Drugs podcast. I am your host, Steve Fury. If you're watching on the YouTubes, you can tell I'm at my parents' guest room right now. Used to be my room. You know, it's always an interesting thing when you go back to your old room. It's like, what have you done? Where are the beanbags and the mini fridges that I left aground for you to follow a road? For this room, it should be large posters torn at the corners because I have used them since I was 10 years old. And it should be a large beanbag, small couch, bed pushed up against the wall, large old school Mitsubishi TV that's 250 pounds and far too large for the room. And there should be weed hidden somewhere, probably in a book that I carved out. Yeah, so if you're looking on the YouTubes, you can see that it looks like I'm making a hostage tape from my parents' guest room. Yeah, so this episode is about the Bahala Nah Gang, the BNG, baby. You've heard me talk about it last week, I think. I don't know, I'm pretty sure. Oh, at last week. Actually, no, we're just going to keep going. This is the Bahala Nah Gang. I'll be talking about the BNG, baby, a Filipino street gang that emerged immediately after World War II as hardened criminals were released back into society and people's parents were dead. The Filipinos have been on their side for a very long time, very wonderful people, and they lost a lot of casualties in World War II, and that leaves your kids to not have shit to do. BNG, Bahala Nah Gang, stands for Anything Goes Gang. Great fucking name. And they like to fight, they like to drink, they like to kill competitors, and kill police. So, and you'll actually find out a reason why. The reason why they kill police is because one of the guys who kind of started the gang, a guy named Imong, he was captured at 12 years old. The police then went on to shock his genitals to where they caused damage. And then when he went to get retaliation against them, he did for a while, killed a couple of police. They then found him and shot him alive in front of his whole family, and that's kind of how the gang starts. I'll talk about their early years, their expansion in America, and finishing about what has been going on with them the past few years as they have been strictly targeted by law enforcement and military in the Philippines. We're looking at you, Duarte. You know, divisive guy, but a lot of Filipinos like him. I just drank a Mountain Dew and it shot on my fucking nose. It's my fault for drinking a Mountain Dew past 21 years old. But, you know, when in Rome, when in Sacramento, you drink Mountain Dew. Oh, man, that fucking hurt. I'm probably going to edit this out. Everyone wants to know why this is the episode short last week. Something was wrong in the upload. We did only miss about 4 minutes. I don't think Malik's story got that much better than his dad. He didn't really say too much, and then we ended the show. It was literally 4 minutes. I was going to post the 4 minutes. I was like, who the fuck wants to listen to just 4 minutes? Oh, man, I could add it to this, but I'm just not going to. I'm dumb. I never had a computer from a year ago, but then the pandemic happened, and I had nothing to do, and everyone else is getting famous off podcasts and making a shit ton of money, and it feels like if you don't have one, you don't do it. So I came up with a unique idea. You know, it jumps on the back of people like The Dollop or, you know, just a history podcast. But I found a different lane. You know, every TV show is cameraing people in front of it. But there's different types, so don't be a dick. So I'm not great at this shit. And then the comics were supposed to help me, and they're all coming in. Hopefully that's going to get better. They've told me a lot of great things. We'll see how it goes from there. Do I believe them? Yeah, I do. The guy who's in charge, he hasn't been here yet. So they started early. He didn't want to do that. And that's their excuses. So, you know, with me, I now have a studio in my apartment. So I may just do it there. But also, I mess up. I cut 4 minutes off a podcast. The reason I'm recording this right now in the wee hours of the night, almost the morning, is because I am getting surgery tomorrow in my mouth. They're taking out my tongue. They're taking out my tongue. How will I tell a joke again? No, that's a very sick and sad joke to make. I just have some dental surgery I'm going to have to do, and I'm probably not going to be able to talk very well for a couple days, so I'm trying to get this shit done. This is getting done on Sunday night, so we'll probably get this out hopefully by Tuesday. Tomorrow I gotta wake up at fucking 7 a.m., drive to my dentist, a guy, a buddy of mine, he's a comedian, and then it's an hour away, and a real hour, like country hour, like Sacramento hour, not like L.A. where it's an hour, and it's just in K-Town, and you're fucking 6 miles away. This is a real hour. So I gotta drive out to him, have him do my teeth, and drive back, and then get home, and then fly home to L.A. tomorrow, and then I'll be back in L.A. for a long time. That's why I'm kind of whispering a little bit, but I'll try and turn it up, but I don't know, man, what you want me to do. Other than that, man, our guest, let's talk about this week. I got the dentist guy that's gonna fuck up my whole week, so whatever. I came up to Sacramento to do some shows, and boy, did I do shows. Some of it comedy, not much. The first one is this one in Placer, California. A lot farther than I thought it was, if you're from up here. took that gig. I thought it was Elk Grove. I thought Placer, you know, you leave your town for 5-6 years, and everything stays the same, but you think it changes. So, went out there, pretty country. It's an old gold mining town, but the venue was pretty good. If you saw my Instagram, you saw I posted a video of that. It looked pretty good. The Eliza Schlesinger thing was announced. That's cool. Turns out I'm with it with all my friends. I mean, literally, like, all my friends are on it. So I do the Placer show. My buddy Sam Machado comes out. Guy's been one of my best friends since I was in first grade. We have a pretty good time. Crowd was real weak, but I riled them up. So the next day, I'm set to go do a show. I don't even know if I want. I'm not going to give you the details, but I was pretty buzzed, and there was a reason for my buzzedness, and I bombed my dick off, and I bombed so bad, I don't even think I'm going to pick up the check, and it's a decent-sized check. Decent size. Most people would pay. Anyone else would pay, but this is how I feel. Even though I had a good reason, I did mess up. So, like, what am I going to go over there? If you went over to someone's house and you cleaned their house, and maybe you didn't clean it very good, and you were audibly and visually drunk, would you still try to get paid? I don't know. I do need the money, but I don't think I'm going to do it. I think I'm just too embarrassed. I can't see it. I'm a person who embarrasses really easily. And the reason I do stand-up is because I know I'm not getting embarrassed, because I know it's good. Unless I'm blackout drunk, because I had a good reason. I just don't want to talk about it on a podcast. Stop being a dick. but I don't know if I'll ever work Laughs Unlimited Comedy Club again. Is it going to kill me? No. But I have known that was the first place I ever did stand-up, so kind of fucking sucks. And the next day I went to Sonoma, headlined a show there. Made good money, decent money. Got to hang out with my buddy Toyo Van Grohl. He's going to be on the podcast. Got to hang out with my buddy Brooke Heineken, got to hang out with my buddy Emily Van Dyke. So that was really good, man. All great comics, really great show. Got to have fun. I'm going to be honest. This has been old audiences. I don't know what's going on, if old people aren't scared of Delta, but these have been old audiences. And I do not like going up in front of old audiences, especially because my stuff right now is tending to be, you know, not dark, but dirty. Not dirty, just like edge of society kind of stuff. So yeah, that was been my week. It was pretty traumatic the night that I bombed my dick off. It was an outdoor show, baseball stadium, but we're going to the audience outside. Like I'm telling comedy from a stage on first base, pitcher's mound, and they're in the outfield. So the thing when you do a show like that is when all the old people come an hour and a half early and they all sit up front. And then young people go and sit in the back because they get somewhere, you know, 10 minutes before it's supposed to start. Fuck sake, old people. So when I go up there, the old people do not like me. And since it's outside, the reason you don't want to have comedy outside when there's no walls is because the laughter evaporates in the sky. Whereas in a normal comedy club, I could hear the people in the back laughing because it's going off the sides of the wall, it's going off the roof, and it's coming back to me. And I could see that it was just old people not. So I was up there, alcohol started kicking in. And then I just started getting mad at those old people. I said some shit to them. And then I went home, had a little bit of a panic attack. I went back to my buddy Sam's, it was some night swimming, that was fun. Woke up, had a little bit of panic attack. But I woke up to my phone. I had sick, thank you to you guys if you're here. There's probably 200 people at the show, maybe a little more. And I had like 10 messages all from younger people being like, hey, you were really funny. I was laughing the whole time. So, you know, I think me being so buzzed, I had some stuff going on that day, and I addressed it not in the right way, but do I care? Yeah, I'm embarrassed, but do I actually care? No, not really. I'll be fine. I'll go perform in L.A. and at the Comedy Store and at the Hollywood Improv and all my shows, and there'll be a bunch of people, and they'll like me. It doesn't really matter that much, but, you know, you just... Being embarrassed wasn't good, and just being embarrassed that I wasn't being professional. But I had a bunch of you guys hit me up after the show, people I never knew, new fans. I don't, if you like me then, you're gonna really like me when you see me not being a bag of human dog shit. But I think I had a good reason. I think I had multiple good reasons, to be honest with you. Thank you for reaching out to me. Honest to God. It really helped. Because I was really sad for a little while there, dude. Fucked me up. Because I just, you know, it just wasn't great. It wasn't that bad, but it definitely wasn't good. Nothing I'm proud of. So thank you guys for reaching out to me on that. Let's talk about my guest. I have Anthony. No, that's not his name anymore. Let's talk about my guest. I have J.R. de Guzman. You may know him from Just for Laughs. He got that a long time ago. You may know him from his Netflix special. I picked JR because we started together, oddly enough. Oddly enough, there was a couple years where I started stand-up in Sacramento that a lot of truly great comedians that are successful today did. With Kyrie Shabazz, he has now done Tonight Show, Comedy Central. He just got JFL. He won NBC Stand-Up for Diversity. And Anthony de Guzman, JFL, Netflix, won NBC Stand-Up for Diversity. If you don't know what NBC Stand-Up for Diversity is, it is a... comedy competition that goes to every major comedy club across the nation. People line up for hours outside, and then they go, like, there's normally like 70 people at all the good comedy clubs across the country. Then that whittles down to like 25, and then people come back later and do another minute, whittles down to 10, and then those people, or I think it even goes like 3 or 4. I'm not sure, because I'm not diverse, so I was never able to do them. But then it whizzles down nothing, and that person goes to the finals. And that does that all over the country. I'm talking Denver, Seattle, San Francisco is for California. So everyone from California goes to San Francisco. That's how fucking it is. Nashville, all these ones. Then the winners go to the Hollywood Improv, and then they have another thing, and then that night they get a... it's just full of industry. I mean, full. If you can imagine if every diverse comedian in the country competed and they gave some people a winner, everyone showing up, which they should. I have no problem with that. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck that because I'm a straight white guy that I don't get to do it. Whatever. There's opportunities that I have probably gotten unbeknownst to me that have helped me out and someone else could have got it. Fine. I don't care. So then they get there, and then they compete, and then the winner of that. So Sacramento has had 3 winners of that. That's insane. Those people are from L.A., New York, everyone. We have 3 winners. We had a guy named Mikey Winfield, started before me. J.R. de Guzman, good friend of mine, started with me. Kyrie, good friend of mine, started with me. And there's also a guy named Rene Vaca, who won it last year, or the year before COVID. And he was a Bakersfield Fresno comic. So it's not really the same thing, but it's the Valley. So I started with Anthony. He's a guitar comic, sings funny songs, he has great jokes, one of the nicest guys I've ever met. We met doing these open mics at this place called the Boxing Donkey in Roseville. We go there every Monday night, not in Mondays. Yeah, you used to be able to hit 3 open mics, all pretty far away. You can go to the Comedy Spot, then you go to Nutty Mondays. Yeah, Tristan's Nutty Mondays. Yeah. And it was at the Cowboy Bar, but it was like a kind of a hood ass night, man. I don't know what you want to say. It was pretty fucking hood. And then I would go up there and ball my dick off. And then we'd go to Roseville, which is kind of like a white suburb. And then we'd do this Irish pub. And then we'd end it there, and we'd all just hang out there. And that's kind of where when you start doing comedy. When you start doing comedy, you think the people you're hanging out with are all going to be stars. Most of the time, they're not. Most of the time, they're going to quit. Most of the time, all of you are quit. But for somehow, I have 3 guys that didn't and did pretty good. I mean, they're doing better than me. I don't give a shit. But, yeah, met him there, hung out, did a tour together. He's honestly one of the nicest guys in comedy. And as you see right now in this podcast, he doesn't talk shit about anyone. He's just a good guy. And I really like them. I think you guys are going to like the podcast. I'm going to be in LA a lot. At the end of the month, August 29th, I will be in Petaluma, California. It's Northern California. And I'll probably be in San Francisco the 3 days before that. So if you want to see me then, check the motherfucking... Well, I'm not going to get that. So check my calendar. I'll have the dates of what I'm going to be doing in the Bay. Other than that, I'm going to be in LA. You can see me at the Comedy Store. You can see me at all the Set Up LA shows. You can see me Bear City. So enjoy the show, guys. This is the BNG Gang. Bahala na. My man JR De Guzman. And this is Steve Fury. Thank you guys very much. If you have my phone number and we know your personal friends, if you ever think some people are saying the fucking audio's too low, okay? I'm gonna raise it up on this episode. What are you listening on? There's like some people are always complaining about the audio on the like punching up and this. It's like, what are you listening in the shower? What the fuck are you talking about? I listen to it on Spotify. I listen to it on Apple. Put some headphones on. Put it on your car. What are you listening from this phone? From your phone? I have to be louder than your phone? Dog. Okay, so I'm going to turn it up. The volume up. If you know me, you have my phone number, text me if you think it's good or not. And, you know, I'm always open for some suggestions. As always, if you want the t-shirt, thank you guys for checking it out. They're going pretty good. Venmo at Steven-Fury. Venmo me $25. Give me your size you want and your address, and I will get them out the following Friday. They're pretty cool. I've been wearing one a lot. Looks pretty good. A couple of guys sent me photos and stuff. All right, guys. Love you very much. Enjoy the show. All
right, JR, what's going on, buddy? Good to see you.
Yeah, baby. Good to see you.
Let's do a little intro thing. It's like kind of like the, you know, in the WTF pod where Marc Maron rambles and you're like, how do I skip this?
Yeah, yeah.
I tried to do the same thing. Okay, no, cool. I already did that. So everyone already knows all your credits.
Later. Oh.
Everyone already knows everything to do it. I do it a little bit later from here.
I see. Okay, cool, cool. So it already happened.
It already happened, and it was good.
So we have to let them know, hey, if you're skipping, stop right here.
All right, put that in the beginning of my thing, because I used to have this, someone told me they wanted to invent an app that just skipped Marc Maron's part of WTF, like the beginning.
Yeah, yeah.
So I pretty much do, I just write on my podcast, the podcast starts at 32 minutes.
That's smart.
Or something like
that. Yeah, yeah. Do you have a 32-minute rant?
Yeah, normally, yeah. Hell, these are probably about 2 hours.
Do you go to therapy?
I don't really rant. I just keep, because some people are like my fans,
yeah,
and they
want
to know like what I've been up to, that kind of thing. And then some people do not care about me in the least bit, and they just want to know about random games.
Well, I would imagine you need to give that to people too, though, the part that's about you. Because people are tuning in, even though the random Yang thing is sick, that's what they want to come for. They also just want to hear like, what are you up to?
Yeah, like if it's a fan of a comedy show that saw me at comedy, they're like, I want to see this guy's podcast. And then some other people just find on there and they're going, oh, this guy's talking about weird gangs I've never heard of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is just like today's game, Gang America. We are talking about the Bahala Na Gang, which translates to the Anything Goes Gang.
Hell yeah.
I got to say, so far, name 10 out of 10.
Such a good name.
Pretty good.
Anything Goes. I'm joining just for the name.
Yeah, just for the name. You sold me.
There's Boys and Girls Club, and you're like, hey, you want to go to that or the Anything Goes game? I think I'm going to go to the Anything Goes
game. I was like, yeah, that sounds fantastic. Maybe. Yeah. It couldn't be any better unless you added like bacon and avocado.
Yeah.
That's the only way that name could be any good. So here's a question for you, JR. Mm-hmm. Do you speak Tagalog at all?
Ooh, well, one, you said it wrong.
Oh, fuck.
Two...
What is it?
No, but that's
Tagalog.
I like that you tried though. You did it.
Yeah, no, I say
it's
a lot of shit.
Tagalog.
Oh, Tagalog.
Yeah, I'll do. You fucking can
okay.
Say
so
it.
There's. It's not the long.
Can I curse on this? Does it matter?
I don't give a fuck. Okay. Yeah, we're talking about people getting. Dude, there's a
people getting beheaded.
There's some guys in Stockton that this gang is. Well, I don't want to cut it, but
no,
there's
it's
a
fine.
Big ending about these guys.
Okay, I won't rush.
A little
to the
chappy
point.
Chappy going on.
Yeah, you guys try to guess what Anything Goes Gang would do.
Okay. I'm gonna give you a little hint. Anything goes.
Yeah.
Tagalog.
I speak a little bit. I can speak a little bit. Like when people ask, I say "konti konti lang." That means only a little bit.
Is there a lot of hand movements in?
No, that was just for me.
That was just for you.
That was just for me. So nobody predict that, like, oh, they're like Italians.
Yeah, or like someone else. It's just going to be race, more racist, the more things you say about them.
The more racist we throw in.
Throw in there, but do things that they do. So, but you've been to the Philippines and stuff, right?
A bunch. I kind of go back. I was going back and forth like almost every year since I was 16.
Okay. Yeah. Fantastic. That's exactly why I tried to get you in here, because this gang really is more in Philippines.
Mm, okay. They're also in other places?
They're also here. Oh, snap. But, you know, because the 70s, well, we'll get to all that.
Yeah.
Whenever all the Filipinos came over. Yeah. So, the gang starts in the early 1940s. The gang begins to form around the Philippines as a direct response to losing parents during World War II.
Whoa.
Okay, pretty cool,
like
right?
Lost Boys.
Yeah, it's like Lost Boys. Right, these guys had nowhere to go. Also, since there were not enough people working, all the prisons started releasing a lot of criminals. And at the same time, so now there's a bunch of like kids mixing with hardened criminals, and that's where these gangs start to happen.
Yeah, that's how you end up with the name Anything Goes. Kids make that name.
Yeah, or a guy selling to kids.
Yeah.
He probably would have been like, so we have two options. I voted Anything Goes. The kids wanted super slimy, gummy ball gang.
Super slimy, gooey.
Icky. No gooey girls gang. Allowed gang. So this guy, right? Crazy. Yeah, this guy right here is one of the most badass little motherfuckers I've ever heard of in our history of this podcast. Okay. His name is Imong Talastas. If you want to say that better than me, you can.
That sounds pretty good. Imong Talastas, I would imagine.
At the age of 12, he is captured and tortured by police in Sampaloc, Manila, in the Philippines. Mm. Now, when he's captured, he's not just captured. What the police do is they electroshock his genitals.
Oh, dude, I've heard of that, actually.
Yeah, is that a big thing? Because I've been wondering about that. Are the police very combative to the Philippines?
I would say, I don't know if I should even say this stuff. My dad was in the Philippine military.
Okay.
And let's say I can neither confirm nor deny that they have hazing.
Yes.
And I've heard that the hazing is pretty intense.
Okay, and it's a lot of tasing of balls, maybe.
Yeah.
In a theorized world.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, Jesus Christ, Imong. First question, how do you shock a 12-year-old's balls?
What do you mean?
There's not much going on there. It's like two little raisins.
Yeah.
Like I'd go nipples first. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, it's I don't know why they go direct balls, dude. That's the thing. Like, that's how you know the Philippines, they don't fuck around.
They don't fuck around.
They go straight to the balls.
Yeah, it's either like very nice up front or straight to the balls.
Like, usually torturing, they would lead in an interrogation to get to that point. Mm-hmm. They're like, no, let's go straight. Let's go to our closer.
Yeah, we're going to close with balls. If you can go past this, you're probably going to be free, dude, because that's all we got. We've only got balls.
We literally got nothing. Just more ball stuff.
There's just one guy in the back. Where's Harry Balls Talastas? He only comes up with one thing. So at 13 to 14, Imong, as a sort of a retort, starts going at war with the police.
Mm.
He's starting a little gang, and he's regularly targeting and killing police.
Mm-hmm. He's at 14.
At 14, his gang.
I mean, dude, you get somebody tasing your balls. Like, I'm surprised he didn't do it at 13.
Yeah.
That's what I'm... That 2 years
13 and 14. 13 to 14.
Okay. Oh, gotcha. I would say that's a lot of time to process. But yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's like you shock someone's balls, you made an enemy for life.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything balls is enemy or friend for life at that age.
Also, right here, Imong, coolest kid I've ever heard of.
Yeah.
Got to be getting a lot of pussy. Oh, number two, if you could have, if your police are being killed by 12-year-olds, doesn't say much about your police. you yourself, but like these guys.
No, I've been out there. I mean, they are scary though.
Yeah,
see these guys, but I don't know how. Like, did it say how he was doing it? Was he like sneak attacking? It says street fights.
It was street fighting, but there's a lot of sneak attacking.
Yeah, dude, because these guys are walking around with assault rifles and just like straight up.
These are the police or just random people?
The police out there. Yeah. But also, the Philippines is one of the countries most known for like illegal guns as well.
Mm.
So I think there's just a lot of guns.
But you can't do any drugs there.
Now.
Yeah.
That's how Duterte's cleaning things up.
Yeah.
Is if there's a rule, I forget what it was, but it was like if you have drugs, it's like you can kill them on site.
Yeah.
As long as you say that they had drugs.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people were manipulating that. Let's say someone's looking at your girl wrong. You kill the guy and tell the police like, yeah, he had coke or something.
Yeah. Or you plant it on him.
You plant it on them. Yeah. And it depends also who you're related to.
Oh, so people can kill people.
Yeah, dude.
If they have drugs.
There was something like that. I don't get it all directly from me.
Another hearsay.
Yeah, but it was like I'd go back and forth and I'd hear little things, and like my brothers would be doing like, I don't know if I should say this on here, but they've been doing like ecstasy And I'm like, you guys should probably stop doing ecstasy. Right
yeah,
now.
Especially over there. Wait, your yeah. brothers are over? They live over there?
They were over there. They were in dental school out there.
Oh, that's why there's so many. So does the nursing thing contract over here too? If you get a nursing thing over
yeah,
there?
Yeah, so yeah, exactly. You can go to school out there and then work over here. And then everyone sends money back to their family back there. So,
makes
but
a lot
yeah,
of sense.
I heard that. I don't know how true it is, but maybe with the way that the law was written, or Duterte said it very like, because you know he's very confident and will just say things mm-hmm. in speeches. Very similar to like how Trump would say
yeah.
things.
Yeah, he has power.
And yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like if Trump had like actual real power.
And you don't know for sure if it's a fact or not, but he was saying like, yeah, if you see someone with drugs, kill them, and kill them on sight. And people kind of, some people like love that about him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think, since you've been going over this since you were a kid, do yeah. you think it's safer now than it used to be?
Oh, man. It depends where you go, because Manila, where my brothers were staying, is BGC. It's Fort Bonifacio Global City. It's like one big mall. Like, you're walking around. There's, like, the nicest shops. It's like rich.
The Mandalay Bay in Vegas or something.
Exactly, yeah. It's like that. It's a huge strip, and all the, like, rich Asians and Europeans are out there walking around. But then you go, I don't know all the areas, but you go to another area and it's like a bunch of like shacks and
yeah.
stuff like that. So it depends like, where you go.
I saw this one documentary, or it was just like this show. It was like Cops, but the Filipino version.
Mm-hmm.
And like this dude go, these cops go into like this woman's like, it's like a hovel. Like it's like, if you know that little back room you got, if yeah. like three people lived in there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They call it something, man. I forgot what it's called. It's a... in my head, I'm just calling it like a shack. But yeah, does it have like a tin type of roof?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And like tarps and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, so the cops go in there and it's a woman with a baby and like her two sons are like 14 laying in front of her. And the cop goes in and he just goes like right above and he pulls out this stuff. Like it just looked like it probably was meth, I would guess, because that's pretty big out there.
Yeah.
And then the woman just crumbles. And then you're like, oh, you're going to.
Because she knows.
You're going to die.
Dude, shit's so crazy.
We're gonna fucking
Philippines
die.
Is fucking wild, yeah, but it also their tagline out there is more fun in the Philippines. So you can only have that much fun if there's also no rules.
Yeah, true.
Bringing,
I mean,
bringing it back to anything goes.
And I think I feel like Philippines are like, hey, anything goes except drugs. You just can't do drugs.
And I
because the sex stuff's pretty crazy out there.
Oh, dude, it is.
Yeah,
dude, it brings everyone together. That's why everyone goes like to these Dutch dudes, German dudes, like Canadians.
They're all
like,
dudes. They're all little white, yeah. white, weird white guys.
Dude, the oldest white guys with like the youngest Filipino girls. It's crazy. But I was talking about this last night too. Is it weird for you when you meet like a white dude who speaks fluent like Chinese or Tagalog or anything like that?
Probably it would be Tagalog.
Yeah,
Tagalog.
Because they for sure are trying to.
Because that's a, yeah, unless girls. you're trying to probably bang.
That's what's up.
Young children or
I'm
like.
I'm not crazy then.
No.
Okay.
But a Chinese guy, I mean, a white guy speaking Chinese, he could be doing like weird
business
over there. Yeah. It always seems a little shady to me.
You know? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, for me too. It's like I don't know why it shouldn't offend me at all or bother me, because it's like, hey, good for you.
Yeah.
He's trying to learn the language.
Yeah.
But it always, for some reason, just a little bit. I'm still a little bit like. Why do you know this?
Yeah, it's like a guy wearing like a top hat and dark sunglasses. I'm like,
yeah.
What are you hiding over there?
Yeah.
Why do you know this? Here's a question, buddy.
Okay.
Let's say you're 12.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me get back in there. Yep, 12.
Cops shock your balls.
Okay.
Are you getting revenge or are you just like, I'm never letting that happen again?
Damn, dude. That says a lot about Emong, right?
Yeah, because I mean.
That kid has spirit. Bad. You shock my balls, I'm not going to lie.
I'm out, dog.
I'm out, dude. I'm moving.
I'm out of the Philippines. I'm just walking straight, and I will never stop again.
Dude, I'm Singaporean now.
I'm Cambodian, dog. I'm coming to America, opening a donut shop. I'm different.
That's the first episode and the last episode of Scared Straight Philippines.
Yeah.
It's just this guy shocking a bunch of 12-year-old kid balls. They're just like, yeah, we're good, actually.
Then everything's A pluses next. I'm like, I don't know what they do.
Damn, man. But gangs in the Philippines, dude, are legit. I've had like cousins and uncles who are part of like Filipino gangs. It's like the mafia, man.
Well, this should be the biggest one there. It should be Sige. We're gonna talk about later okay. in the Bahala Na. BNG.
See, I don't know them all, so it's interesting to. I'm learning about all this stuff right now.
So what would you do if someone just kept gone on the straight track?
I think so. I mean, I can't really. Like it's like. You know when I was playing basketball as a kid and I got hit with a basketball in my nose and my eyes start watering?
Yeah.
Like, that hit me pretty hard.
Yeah, yeah. And you're not, and like, right then you're like, I could either go get water and cry or I could, I guess, fight this guy. And
dude,
then 2 seconds later, you're drinking water.
I'm drinking water and I'm just like, yeah, you guys have fun, man. So, like, I think I'm out, man. But yeah, I don't want to go out like that though. I wish I can we edit in the podcast that I said that I would fight
and I would kill all of them. Cops. I would get redemption for my testicles.
Yeah, dude, I'm in the gang too.
So sad to say, at 15, Emong is gunned down by the police in front of his siblings.
Oh, that's short lived. I thought Emong was gonna have a long narrative in this.
I mean, he because of this moment, the Philippines are never really the same.
Because of this? This oh, so right he's here. Like a famous kid.
Yeah, he's gonna be. There's movies written about him and this guy later. I gotta tell you.
Yeah.
I keep giving up secrets.
You don't have to, man.
You Filipinos come up with great nicknames. Okay, there's two of them in here. And I'm just like, fantastic. Just the names.
Yeah.
You know, it's good stuff.
Yeah. I love it. I believe it.
So once he dies, this leaves a power gap in the Filipino street games. Mm. Number one, rest in peace to Emong. You lived a short, terrible life.
Yeah.
But honestly, you're a badass. 1945, Divino, a.k.a. Diving. I don't really know that one. That's what they said.
Mm-hmm.
Talastas creates the Baja La Naging, the BNG. I'm not going to keep saying that over and over again. Mm. For vengeance against the police. This also filled the power vacuum left by the death of his brother. This was his older brother. So Emong is the older brother of Divino.
Oh, it's his brother.
Yeah. So
wait, Emong is the older brother of Divino. So Divino is the younger brother.
Divino's yep.
See, that's always worse.
When yes.
If it's the younger brother getting revenge, it's always worse.
Yeah. Because
he's your role model. You know,
he's your role model, and also like the younger brothers always a lot. I always find. Stronger and better because they've been competing against an older guy the whole time. Whereas the older guy might be like more talented, but he's also fighting inferior.
Yeah. You're always a little bit smaller, younger. So you kind of have to work harder for sure. I'm the youngest, so I'm just biased against this. I'm
like, you're like the more handsome, like handsome bigger dicks.
Sure, dude. The dicks huge cocks. The younger, the huger.
The younger, the bigger. These little kids, huge cocks. Divino has a personal vendetta against the police because his 5-year-old half-brother was traumatized after watching the police unload their guns into Emong's corpse well after he had died.
Damn.
It's like there's no better reason to start a gang than that.
Mm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Get your balls shocked. Emong maybe went a little too far killing police.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know though if that's too far.
It's up in the air. It's definitely equal,
dude. You do anything near a guy's balls, it's like kind of justified. Yeah, whatever the retaliation happens, is
for sure.
Yeah. But yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
But then the police.
I'm not justifying killing police, but
this would be.
This would be
it's in the conversation. People are talking about it on the podcast.
Yeah,
but if the police murder your 15-year-old older brother in front of your 5-year-old. Brother, and when he's dead, they keep shooting him. That's a reason to start a gang, man.
Yeah, Bahala Na Gang, baby.
Bahala Na Gang.
This is a good narrative, like the origin story of this.
Oh yeah, it's gonna go on the origin story, and then we start going into how they came to California, America.
Yeah,
and then I didn't know there were that many
like offshoots of this.
No, just I never thought of when I think of Filipinos, I just think Northern California. I don't really think Southern California.
Yeah. Well, they're everywhere, man.
Yeah.
We are everywhere.
That's the problem. That's the problem.
It's spreading, dude. It's like bedbugs, dude. So you can't stop it.
So at the same time, Bahala BNG gang's getting bigger. There's a new gang called the Sigay Gang.
Mm-hmm.
And they start starting up as kind of a yin and a yang.
Mm-hmm. Sige, I've heard Sige a lot. Oh, Sige, it's like when you're doing something. Or there's different ways to say Sige, but yeah, okay.
Okay. Sige, I looked it up, means go on, go ahead, or proceed.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, not as good a name.
Mm-hmm.
If one gang is anything goes, and the other one's just like, go ahead of me.
But you know what? I think this is how they're using it.
Okay.
It's like, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead, like see. Make a move.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's pretty scary, right?
That's low school, yeah. It's like, punch me first, and you're going to die.
Yeah, because I've heard people say, oh, Sige. It's like, a kid's about to do something dumb. This is when I've heard it growing up.
Mm.
There's different ways. And like, oh, sige, sige. Or you get hurt and you're crying. They don't come comfort you. Like, oh, sige.
Yeah, learn. You're about to learn something.
Yeah. So I think that's where there's.
Oh, that's way cooler. Okay.
Because like otherwise the other gang name is so pussy.
Yeah. Go on ahead.
Yeah.
After you.
It's cool. No, please.
Please. After you, gang. It's like, which one do you want to join? Okay. So we're switching to 1950s. Divino at this time. You know, about 5 years older, he's going to prison all the time. He's in and out.
Okay.
The BNG is established as a leading Filipino prison gang during this time. Whenever Divino is in prison, he is referred to as the mayor.
Whoa.
Top 5 coolest nicknames of all time.
So cool. Dude, the mayor of prison? Hell yeah, dude. Sounds like I would lead with that everywhere I go.
Sounds like a bad guy in, like, Batman.
Yeah, yeah.
Think I've got the mayor, do you? JR, have you had any nicknames in your life? We got JR.
Dude, in grade school, so I went to a pretty white Catholic school. I won't say which one for grade school. And
high school wasn't much better.
Yeah, that's how you know it. We're across the street from each other, dude. Yeah, so
no, I wasn't Christian Brothers. No, McClatchy.
Oh, you went to McClatchy?
What do you think? I went to Loretta?
I thought you went to Rio.
No, I'm not a Rio kid.
Or
I went to McClatchy,
or whatever the American River one is. No. Oh, okay. All right, so, but the Catholic school, they called me, and when I played sports, they called me Speedy Gonzalez. And it was like so close, you know what I mean?
Like. That and could be a new premise right there, bro. You might want to write that down.
Remind me of this. Yeah. I got to listen to old podcasts and figure it out. But
that does happen, dude. I get bits from doing podcasts, especially ones when you're just like talking.
But it's hard because you got to go back. Do you go back or do you just remember it afterwards?
I don't know. I might like stop and write it down real quick or something.
All right. I'll make a voice memo or something. I don't know.
Speedy Gonzalez is pretty funny.
Well, so this is what I'll say. They call me Speedy Gonzalez. But, dude, I think when you're young, you don't think of shit as racist. Yeah. I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
I was like, hell yeah, I'm fast. I'm a fast Mexican mouse. That's what I felt. I was proud of it.
It is so funny.
I'm just write down Speedy Gonzalez.
Yeah, Speedy Gonzalez.
Remember that
you
shit.
Should. I had this one since I was a kid, actually. It's Steve Huge Dick, but Normal Size Balls Fury. I've had that since I was a child.
Is that real?
No. okay. I was Fist of Fury. Because in sophomore year, I beat up a senior.
Mm-hmm.
And then they put that in the school news letter.
That was freshman year?
Sophomore year, I beat the
shit out
of the guy,
too. That's a big deal, dude. Did that give you some cred for the rest of your 3 years, 2 years?
I was already doing pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, by the time in sophomore year in high school, I was a guy who always just down to fight.
Yeah.
Not necessarily.
DT fight, maybe.
This is a recording, right?
I'm still hearing you. Cool. Yeah, yeah.
So I've done whole podcasts with this thing off.
See, I'm glad I got the headphones.
That's why I started doing it, but I just didn't bring it over.
I'm basically your producer right now.
Yeah.
The one guy wearing the headphones in the room.
Is not his podcast.
Yeah. So, what was it? Your nickname?
It was Fist of Fury because I beat up this guy and it was in the school newspaper.
That's dope.
It was pretty cool.
Do you already have a sick last name? I'm sure you've heard that.
Yeah, kind of always like, you know, girls normally call me Steve and then guys would call me Fury most of the time.
Yeah.
Okay, so DeVino is most frequently the mayor of Iwahig prison. DeVino calls shots while in prison and recruits new members to the gang during his prison stays. The BNJ establishes control over the new Bilibid prison and the Bureau of Corrections. So just like in America, you know, if you can control the prisons, oddly enough, you can control the outside.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Probably because more of the older guys are in there.
They're connected.
You have people coming in and out. And they're probably the scariest guys a lot of times.
And you're kind of protected in a
and
weird
you're
way.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not out in the streets. Mm-hmm. So.
And you're probably the guy who started the shit, just like DeVino. So we're going to go to the 1960s. We're moving right along. The 1960s is referred to as the golden era of Filipino prison and street gangs. And right? Who doesn't refer to the 60s?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about. Some people think of the Beatles, but I think about the golden era of those sweet street gangs. Yeah.
Peace, love, gay. Filipino street gang. That's all I think of, buddy. BNG has enough reputation with high-ranking members that starts getting targeted by rival gangs. And really, this is kind of the thing right now that starts really popping off everything. July 10th, 1961. Mm. Roberto Monreal is targeted by four career criminals for his role in the Bahala Nag Gang, BNG. He fights all four of them at once. He's doing pretty good. But the criminals get the upper hand due to employing wooden planks, essentially 2x4s.
Mm-hmm.
Monreal is knocked down in a corner and is beaten to death with wooden planks.
Can I backtrack? Wait, so who's it's Monreal.
Monreal. You're right. Monreal. Roberto Monreal. Monreal is going to be the reason this other guy joins a gang.
Okay, gotcha.
And the other guy, there's like a bunch of movies over there written about him and stuff like that. He's pretty fucking cool. He's got another amazing nickname.
Okay.
So what would you say? Beaten to death by planks. Top five worst ways to die?
Oh, man, beaten up by plank. It's funny because you don't think of the, you know, they say, would you rather die by fire
or
drowning?
Mm-hmm. No one brings up planks.
Planks, it's a surprise one, dude. Because once you're getting beaten up by planks, you think about that question.
Yeah, you're probably like, wish I had some fire right now.
Why did nobody bring this up? This is the worst way to die. Dude, planks are so specific. And you see a guy walking with a plank, you just assume he's building a house.
Fence. One slot at a time.
Yeah, dude. It's like, dude, where are the rest of his planks?
Yeah. Okay. Here you go. Don't read my ways to die.
Okay.
Top five worst ways to die. Could be funny or not. Mine aren't that funny.
I mean, I'll go real with it. Really, it's sharks.
Sharks would be bad.
I don't know why, because you just always think you're having a good time, but then when it starts happening, you're like, I fucking knew it.
That first pull?
Yeah.
You're like, fuck, 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 fuck.
Why is it always a pull? Like, and the thing is like a pull. It's like the shark is just like, ugh.
We test it. I think they taste it to see if they can come eat it.
Yeah.
And like, they circle back.
I can eat this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm going to go for a little swim. I'll be back.
It's like at hometown buffet when you test if like the yogurt, the frost.
Yeah, okay, just a little bit. Okay, cool.
I'm going to come back around.
Yeah, so sharks for sure, for one for me. But then I heard this fact that you're more likely to die rather than sharks, but from a vending machine falling on you. Have you heard that fact?
No.
Dude, just made me more afraid of vending machines.
Yeah.
didn't make me feel less afraid of
sharks.
It went
from zero to maybe a tiny little bit more than zero.
Yeah. Anything where I die where I'm having fun. So it's I'm swimming in the ocean. I must have been like snorkeling and having a great time. Dead. Vending machine followed me. I was about to have some candy. Dead. Mm-hmm. So there's two. Let me see. I'll try to think of three more. Plane crash. Because again, I was probably on my way to do something fun.
Mm-hmm.
Then boom. And then it's just like you have so much time before you die. And you know you're going to die.
And you're just flying down. And
oh
you don't.
Oh, God. Ugh.
Are you looking out the window, being like,
oh,
you got about 3 minutes?
Dude, I know myself because I've thought about it during turbulence. I'm holding the person next to me's hand. I don't care if they want to or not. I'm like, hey, I don't know.
If the guy's just like, this is my nightmare, is holding hands with a stranger dying.
Yeah, I got intimacy issues. Now I'm just like, come on, man, I need this.
Just die for me.
So that's third. What, two more?
I think you did a couple there.
Oh, you said five. Oh, I thought you said five. Okay, no, you're cool.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I would go number one, ball shocked by the Filipino police. Number two, shot to death in front of my family. Number three, you know, I think the shark one's good because it involves sharks and drowning.
Yeah. Yeah, because you'd probably drown. At that point, you're not going to technique swim.
Yeah, you're not. Your breathing's not good.
Like, okay, how do I wade in the water?
Oh, here, this one's, okay, number five. Number four is fire, easy. Okay. Number five is some sort of alien bug burrows into my butt and then plants like a seed inside me. And then I raise this creature in my stomach for months, not really understanding what happened. Then, you know, I'm just eating and I'm disgusting people. And then for some reason, I'm at my high school reunion and they're like, Steve, do some stand-up. And right at that time, a bug burrows out of my ass, leaving me slunked in the corner, a la Men in Black.
In the middle of your set.
In the middle of my set.
Damn, dude. I would actually, if I was in the crowd, dude, I fucking love Steve, dude.
Innovative.
Steve's so funny.
Innovative. No one has ever become just a cocoon
That's
for a
Andy
space
Kaufman-esque. Bug. Andy Kaufman-esque. Yeah, no one's been a cocoon.
Guy always thinking out of the box.
David, man. And I will say, just real compliment, man. I would say that about your humor.
It's a bug.
Like, I could see you doing that. I could see you doing that.
I'm like, I haven't written anything. Let me show you this bug thing I've been working on.
Yeah.
July 1961. The killing of Roberto Monreal was directly responsible for one of the BNG's most notorious members joining the gang. After the murder of Roberto, Arturo Boy Golden Porcuna joins the gang while in prison for his own protection. Fucking Filipinos with the greatest nicknames ever.
So good.
Boy Golden?
Boy Golden.
You
dude.
Think Golden Boy.
Well, because they probably watched, Pony Boy. So Stay Gold Pony Boy. Yeah, so they probably watched that and then just the English is a little off.
Big outsider fans.
Yeah, Boy Golden. They for sure meant Golden Boy. This is my people. I'm going to say they meant to say Golden Boy.
But Boy Golden just kind of, I don't know, flows. I don't know.
It's poetry.
Yeah, it's poetry. It's definitely like
Boy Golden.
Like I got my buddy Fang Chow and he always like says phrases wrong, but then it just becomes way more like.
Is better
poetry. Like he has this one where we were like we were at the Comedy Store and we were like selling booths and we weren't supposed to, and then he got in trouble, and then when he got in trouble they're like, why do you do, you know, we just kept doing it, why do you do this? And he goes, because I just wanted my brothers to have a better sandwich today than they ate yesterday.
That's deep, dude.
Deep, wonderful.
Like, so did you guys stop for a day? Like, no. I would stop for a day to think about what he just said.
Well, he said it to us another time, and I was just like, that's one of the sweetest, nicest things
a
I've ever
A better sandwich today than they had yesterday. Dude, I quit comedy.
Yeah, I was just
like,
now. That's fucking poetry, man. That's what you want for anyone that you care about.
Yeah. I feel like I'm not doing a service to the world if I'm not thinking that way every day. That's tight.
The Seagate gang attempt to kill Boy Golden since he is a witness to the death of Monreal. This creates a burning hatred in Boy Golden for the Seagate, and upon release begins a campaign of death against the Seagate members. He starts killing a shit ton of them. Mm. Boy Golden is so active in attacking Seagate that he immediately becomes the most prominent target they have.
Damn.
So on 12/14/1963, Christmas Eve? Or Christmas
Eve. Dude, yeah. Christmas is huge in the Philippines. You celebrate it from December 1st.
Really?
And you kind of keep celebrating till New Year's. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Dude, I think from in Pangasinan, in my dad's neighborhood, it's a province, so it's like kind of farm, rural area. I think from Christmas Eve till New Year's, dude, karaoke till 6 in the morning. Not even. It's a stereotype because it's true. Dude, 6 in the morning every day. So I would wake up, I would go to bed seeing a family of people like drinking and doing karaoke like in front of their house mm-hmm. in like the little driveway garage area. And I would wake up in the morning, they're still there, dude. Seriously. I was just like, what? This is real?
There's no drugs. It's just alcohol and singing. That's the impressive
Red part. Horse. That's the drink out there. That's the beer.
What is it? Oh,
it's called Red Horse. It's a beer. Yeah. Like a really strong beer. So good.
What? Okay. Are they singing like Filipino songs? Or no, are they also doing like some soul ones?
Both. Everything. So like you'll hear everything from like a Bruno Mars, like a pop song. Yeah. So like a ballad like Lady in Red. Yeah, yeah. That's my dad's shit, dude. He owns that every dude, man. And it works, man. My mom gets a little aroused. Dude, it's crazy. When I ever witness it, I know they're about to fuck, dude. When he sings Lady in Red, it's on. But yeah, so everything. Ballads and pop mostly.
All right, 12/24/1963. Boy Golden is gunned down while opening Christmas presents with his henchmen. This happens because rival gang members followed his wife and sister as they went to attempt a Christmas gathering at his apartment.
Damn.
Fucking terrible way to die.
Yeah.
I had no idea that Christianity had already crept into the Filipino culture by this point.
Dude, Spaniards.
Spaniards. So that's like, that's why everyone's names over there are always.
Guzman, mm-hmm. Yeah, Bravo. It's all Spanish. Yeah. So the Catholicism. Mm. So when, I forget, is it Magellan, whatever it was, they came over to the Philippines, the way that they were justifying being able to come over, they had to get approval and saying that they were going to convert. So a lot of the colonization back then was under like Catholic pretenses.
Well, it's the same thing in America.
Yeah, I guess that's true, huh?
That's what they did everywhere, and they just murdered everybody if they didn't become Catholic.
And then, yeah, they said it was, oh, it's to be Catholic. Yeah. Which is so weird, because now we're hella Catholic.
And now there's not even that many Catholics. Yeah. I mean, Filipinos are probably like a last, Filipinos, Mexicans are like a last.
Last stand.
Yeah, you know, Catholicism.
Yeah, it's crazy. But
Here, we get to see a picture of Boy Golden.
Okay.
I think he's a not too bad looking guy.
Yeah, he's not bad. I mean, he's like, he's got wavy hair.
Wavy hair, big eyes.
Yeah.
Big Boy lips.
Golden. Boy Golden, huh?
But my favorite thing, 5'2".
He's, I don't even know, where?
5'3" there.
Does it say 6?
No, oh, that's it. You thought he's a 6'3 Filipino guy?
I don't know, dude. It looks like a 6. It's
it
not,
does, no.
I was
five.
In disbelief, but his head, 4'9". His head is long.
Yeah, his head goes from about 4'5" to 5'3". That's probably about right. That's a big head.
I don't know why it looks way bigger here, dude. But yeah, he's a good looking dude.
Not bad looking.
He could act.
Yeah. So three different movies
we're
have made.
We're casting him right now.
Yeah, we're going to go back in time and get this psychopath.
Yeah, what do you think he could play?
something evil. Yeah. Three different movies have been made about Boy Golden in his brief but violent stint as a big shot in the BNG. During the 1960s, the BNG received a reputation for being the most violent gang in the Philippines. Members happily engage in thrill kills where all they do is seek out rival gang members and police and kill them. Researchers allowed in the Filipino prison system in the 60s described the BNG as psychopathic in nature and organization.
Damn.
That's like a 5-star review for your gang, though.
Yeah.
You know, that's
like,
pretty...
Oh, shit, guys, we made it!
Yeah, we did it! The next day. Like, frame it in your little hut.
The trades are in.
Oof.
They love us.
So to me, that's a 5-star review. Let's talk about reviews. What's one of the worst things or best things someone ever said to you?
Review comedy-wise?
It could be an insult to your face, could be from your kid, could be anything. You need to try to think, because maybe, you know, I'm still working on the podcast. Maybe I should start going first mm-hmm. so the guests have some time to think.
Sure. Do you have one?
Comedy-wise, when I first got to L.A., this manager told me that I was just another boring white guy.
Oh, my God, dude, I hate that.
That one
And
hurt.
I'm not a white guy, but I hate that. I would hate to hear that. Because it's like, it's not anything you can change.
Yeah.
You're not
and also,
boring.
I don't think I'm boring.
Yeah, you're not boring. But I just mean, there's what they're trying to say. Oh, we have a lot of white dudes.
Yeah.
Is that saying?
Yeah.
It's like, that's so dumb. Not real.
I mean, I don't mind if they're like, hey, you know, it's like a party where they're like, hey, we're capped out, you know, too many white guys right now. But if they were like, hey, yeah, capped out of the party, you're white and ugly, so you can't come in.
That's how most of my parties end. Too many white guys. This is not what I wanted for this night.
Cap it.
Oh, man. Okay, well, on that note, see, that would hurt me so bad. I got this weird, it was like a compliment that was weird. It's always weird when someone's trying to give me a compliment and it hurts.
Oh, yeah, okay. Because
then you try to just take it.
Yeah.
This guy was like, dude, I love how, like, you do this. You got it down, man. This, like, awkward, sort of nervous, like, losery thing on stage you do. It's so good. It's so funny. And I was like, I didn't even know I was doing that.
Yeah, I've been doing it. He's been like, you've been doing it for years, dude.
No, dude, since you started and to now, to today. And you're doing it off stage, too.
Loser.
So good.
So good. One of a kind. No one's a bigger loser than you. One of the best compliments I got was from Jeff Singer this year.
Oh, sick.
Before he was fired for saying the N-word.
I heard that happened, yeah.
He goes, you're going to be huge.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's so nice. Was that at a showcase?
Yeah, it was at my JFL showcase.
Ah, man.
And then he got fired, and I did not get JFL this year.
Dude.
People got it.
Well.
Interesting to me.
Hey, man.
We're going to keep going, though, on that one. Don't want to get you in trouble.
Yeah, I'm not going to. That's why I said, hey, man.
Just a little.
That's the play it's safe. Know,
1-2, pretty good.
In a
three,
controversial conversation.
I didn't even know there were 3 trans people who did comedy.
Yeah, I'm going to let you keep going.
Yeah, I didn't know there were 3 that did comedy.
You
so.
Keep letting it out.
But for sure, they're. Probably all a lot better than me. 1965.
I was
going to
listen. I love the trans community.
I love the trans community too.
No, you hate him.
I just think, you know.
Cancel him.
2 would have been good. 3-4. That's more than black people than they had. But we're good. We're fine. 1965. Filipino immigrants begin moving to the Los Angeles area. This allows the BNG to expand to California and begin to establish a presence in America. The Filipino youth gangs are created in America in a direct response to the aggression from Latino gangs. Filipino gangs imitate the Cholo style during the first few years of formation in America.
Hmm.
These groups have their origin from the BNG, but start to refer themselves as Satanas.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of this.
Yeah?
I have heard of this.
Satanas are exclusively found in the inner cities of LA and San Diego, where early Filipino immigrants settled into Latino neighborhoods.
It's so true. I was going to say, it's just so true. Like, the Filipino neighborhoods are also like the Hispanic neighborhoods in LA. Because when I first moved to America, it was in LA.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Eagle Rock and...
So you moved straight from the Philippines to here?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So Philippines, I moved when I was like a year old.
You got to be like one of the tallest people in the Philippines, right?
Dude, it's crazy, man.
Yeah.
When I go there, like when I get to the airport and I land, I feel like Bill Murray in Lost in Translation. You see where he's standing and it's just like, it's just him standing and everyone's like so short.
Are your parents taller or are you just kind of, you got tall?
My dad's like 5'10".
Oh, that's not my dad's 5'10".
Yeah, my mom's like 5'7".
Yeah, so your mom's a little taller than normal. My mom's just about that thing.
Yeah.
And I got to be about 6 foot.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Here's the thing, and I don't know, this might offend. I'm not sure. But I noticed that Filipinos tend to like, it could be because in an early thing, Spanish came in and kind of destroyed their culture. But you know, like these guys were a little bit like Cholos. And then a lot of the Filipinos, more that I know, are like probably closer to like, African-American culture.
I would say it's Filipinos are the best like assimilators.
Yeah.
So we'll absorb every culture, dude.
Which is why you guys are great. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Filipinos.
Like dancing, singing. And also because I would say
basketball?
I would say with black culture, like the similarity, the things that we like are similar.
Similar. Yeah.
Basketball, dance, singing. Yeah. Like Filipinos have soul. But it's also
and style.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm gonna go into this in a little bit.
Okay.
I got another question about the style thing.
Oh, let me hear it.
I don't want to jump ahead of it. It's going to be good. I'm going to ask it, so don't worry.
Well, I was going to say, like, I think Filipinos tend to, like, be expressive cultures. So, like, Hispanic and black cultures are like that, too.
And, like, what are you going to take from white culture? It's so boring. They're like, we got mashed potatoes from the whites.
Yeah, but that's the thing, though. We'll do some white shit, too, man. There's some Filipinos, like, it's like there's Abercrombie Filipinos, too.
Yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
All right, so this is where I'm just going to read a little thing. This is a synopsis of the early days of the BNG. From the 1940s to 1960s, the BNG established itself as one of the most violent gangs in the urban areas of the Philippines. Their anything goes attitude, which is why they got that name, took on a more anarchistic attitude as they constantly sought out rival gang members and non-corrupt police officers to murder at random and exert their dominance. Although there are not any extensive details of initiation rituals, it is speculated in order to become a member of the BNG, you need to commit a violent act against a gang rival or police officer that gets the attention of the clique's leaders in the area. Makes sense of why so much violent acts were happening.
Dude,
you know?
Yeah. That's how you get their attention.
That's how you get their attention.
That's like dressing slutty for a gang. You know? There, who'd you kill? Oh, damn.
During this era, toughness and fighting ability were the most important parts of being a BNG member. It is also speculated that one of the key identifiers back then and to the current day is a cigarette burn located near their thumb to indicate membership of the BNG. You ever seen that?
I haven't, guys? I don't think I've seen it personally, no.
You know what's a funny one? Is that I did this podcast with Jason Chenney, we know. And
love Jason.
I love Jason too. About a Taiwanese gang and what they did is the gang like would like lop off fingers, you know, and it's a very big gang in Taiwan. And he goes, you know what? I noticed a lot of people didn't have fingers and I just never thought about it. And I was like, yeah, these guys.
Damn. So he was like surrounded by gang members and didn't know.
Their gang is a little different since like, so since the, God, what is that gang called? I'd have to remember it.
The Taiwanese one?
The Taiwanese one. So since when Taiwan became its own country, they didn't have a military and didn't have a police force or anything. So like this gang like infiltrated itself into the government. So they're more of like a mafia now.
Yeah, yeah.
Than like a street gang.
Because they're almost like a police government system, but they're organized basically.
Yeah, they're a lot more organized. So it's like when you were a gang member, it didn't necessarily mean you were like super bad or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
The violent emphasis of the BNG makes it very hard for them to organize effectively when outside of a prison environment. Much like Italian, Latino, and other Asian gangs during this era, the membership is made up mostly of young teens who are looking for a bond due to poor home life, lack of parents, due to their death during the war, or absence due to work schedules.
Damn, that got real right there.
Yeah.
That was like, that made me a little sad. Like, yeah. Like now I resonate with all these gangs, you know?
I mean, honestly, that's like people always go like they don't want, some people don't want to do this one, my podcast, because they're scared of gang retaliation. But I don't find that I'm necessarily one. I'm not like going to some snitch and he's giving me all their secret information. This is documents from the FBI and the police. And then number two, I don't find that I'm really poking fun ever.
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, I think it's just education on it. Yeah. But I will say too, even on that, it's like I like that you included this part of it of why people join gangs. Because in a weird way, it's the same reason. Like you're sort of in a vulnerable state. I'm not like, and just, and or even that, it's just like you're doing what you need to do to survive.
Imagine if other people, you're walking around, there's other people trying to beat you up all the time, and then you don't have any family, so then you and your friends are like, yo, let's be friends, we'll fucking fight everybody else.
Dude, I've always said this, it's the same reason people join churches.
Yep.
Same people get
fraternities, sororities.
Fraternities, sororities, yeah. It's like you're kind of looking for community, guidance, role models you didn't have.
I would have done it.
Yeah.
All right, 1970s.
So many people would, if they're in that same situation.
Yeah, or you're going to get beat up all the time and become like this. A simp, like something for someone else. Fuck that noise.
Yeah.
In the 1970s, in the Philippines, BNG continues to fight violently with police and rival gangs in prisons in the streets of Manila. I already asked you about the combative relationships. We're good there.
Mm-hmm.
They continue to thrive on anything goes attitude and focus on rival gang killings and killing cops. Filipino families begin immigrating to the West Coast at a faster rate. This creates a difference between styles and creates city and suburban cliques in America. City cliques emulate the more cholo style of the Latino rival gangs. Suburban cliques create their own style that emphasizes on luxury brands and GQ dressing, dissing themselves from the cholo style. That, to me, is the Filipino guys that I grew up with.
Which one? The cholo style?
No.
The GQ style.
The GQ, or like the, you know, guys wearing Supreme. It's so funny because my hypebeast culture of most Filipinos I know. I have
some cousins in LA who, like, I'm thinking of a specific friend of theirs who's, like, more cholo style. Mm-hmm. Even the way he talks, like, they love, like, the foo culture.
Yeah.
Have you seen the foo videos?
Foo's Gone Wild.
Foo's Gone Wild, dude.
Yeah.
So funny. I love that shit. But, yeah, Foo's Gone Wild style. And then, but, yeah, it was the GQ Filipinos.
You know, that's that Bay Area to me. When I think of Filipinos, I think Bay Area Filipinos where it's like nice ass Jordans, nice jeans, crisp shirt, very nice haircut. Like the Andrew Rolfos.
Yeah, Andrew Rolfos, very crisp, very clean, very smooth skin.
So this is the one I'm asking about here.
Yeah.
So the Filipinos I know, hip hair, clothing like that, you know, breakdancing kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Cool. Or were older Filipinos like that? Like, you know, I'm seeing hypebeast. So like back in the day where they're like some guys that were like crispy, like satin suits and shit.
So there was that too, but there was also, it depends, because are you a Filipino dad or like a Filipino playboy? Like I literally just met a Filipino playboy. I won't go too deep into it, but and it's like legit, like
suave.
He's suave, and like the way he talks about stuff, he was like asking me about my dating situation. He's like, you're not married, you're single. You should be getting out there. Like, basically, like
it's easy. Like, and anyone
if
can
you
do
have
it.
A girlfriend, he's like, basically, just keep fucking. Like,
yeah.
That's basically what he was saying.
There's no rules.
I'm like, damn. And, like, you can tell this is coming from his real life. Like, Yeah, so.
So here's a question. I didn't even bother to look it up, but I'm thinking of it right now. Mm-hmm. Why in the 70s did Filipinos start coming here? If it was.
Oh, man.
Was there a bump? Did you ever know? Like, when did you. Was there a reason you guys came over there? Your
fully,
family did?
That's a good question. I don't fully know. I know when we moved over.
That was the 90s. So
yeah, it was in the 90s. Yeah. So it was different than that. But like the full migration, I remember like there's different like versions of it. Yeah, because there's some that moved over as like migrant farm workers. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what that was. Yeah. But I know there was like a post-World War II like ally thing we had with the U.S.
Yeah, so it was probably easy for you to immigrate.
Exactly.
Are we still, was there still a thing like that? Or
well, because the Philippines was kind of, I don't see, I don't know.
If I thought they were a territory.
It was almost like a U.S. territory. Yeah. For, and I think.
Not anymore with the war.
I don't think it was. So, but that was after, like, we got our, like, complete independence for a while. It was way before Duterte. Like, after the first Filipino president.
Oh,
which
okay.
Which was, like, a long time ago. But in the 1900s. So it was, like, after World War II sometime. Yeah.
That's great. That's exactly why I want people to have great information come on the podcast. Suburban Clicks adopt the name of the BNG or the Bahala Na Bakata. I guess Bakata means gang. If you've ever
Bakata, you can also use it like crew, family, whatever. Okay. Yeah, like there's a clothing gang that I have. It's Bakata.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, BNG family, BNG gang. The Satanas do not respect the BNG gang due to their lack of experience fighting, but the wealth of the BNG in the suburbs allows them to get weapons. More than, you know.
Dude, that's crazy. So they had different versions. So they had the suburban one and then like the inner city.
Yeah, and then the Chola was the Satana guys. And they're kind of like,
damn.
They're like, you guys ain't the real shit. You don't know how to fight. But then the other guy's like, yeah, well, I got a gun. I don't need to know how to fight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We got money. Yeah. And we can afford guns.
And I start relating way more with the new BNG kids than the Satana guys. Because
which one's the new BNG? The suburban thing?
Guys. The GQU, the non-Cholos. The Satanas are the Cholos.
Damn, that's interesting. That's weird that they had that divide.
Yeah, well, like, you know, suburban, they kind of probably didn't have, like, Mexican culture constantly surrounding them.
Yeah.
All the time where the guys.
But they're still involved in a gang, and so they do what, like, gang-related stuff they can do, but with wealth.
Yeah, probably with more money, you know, buying cooler clothes, buying cooler cars, tons of Acura Integras, you know, kind of cool shit. Both groups do still emphasize violence and fighting rival gangs, but the suburban cliques start focusing more on partying. Which is like,
dude, it sounds so typical. Like the way this is going, though,
yeah, it does.
It's like I'm just thinking of like my high school experiences. Mm-hmm. Like I'm thinking of Granite Bay High School, people with nice cars, and like, yeah.
They're partying, and they're like, yeah, he probably has a gun, I guess.
Yeah, that's pretty tight, dude. Yeah, but
so the BNG cliques in America tend to focus on partying more than gang conflict, but the ones in the Philippines, not so much. They are still fucking gnarly, especially in the prisons.
Yeah. Okay, so the America one, that's where the partying's happening.
Yeah, the American ones are just kind of like, I mean, we're going to see what these guys do, and they kind of, what's really great is like the three guys that get in trouble, you're like, no, I've seen these guys. They seem like they'd be getting in trouble.
Yeah,
they look shitty.
I'm excited.
Gang growth in America is largely tied to Filipino migration doubling during the 70s and continuing to grow. Now we're to the 1980s. The division between the Filipino and American branches continue. So the Filipino branch continues to be embroiled in violent conflicts between police and rival gangs. The American branch embraces the party lifestyle over street violence. So they're kind of more just like, you know, I'm guessing going to parties, fighting people, maybe selling some drugs to your other square cousins, stuff like that, you know? Because it does seem, well, I'll talk about that later.
Well, that does seem like how suburban stuff even rolls now. Like, it's like drug dealing and whatever you can do like to make more money in the suburbs.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Yeah.
You know, you drive around, you beat up people, but you're not like trapping on a block selling cocaine, like beating people with bats. Yeah. You're like fight guys with your friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So the death of Davino. So Davino, man, made it for a while. The guy who started the stuff because Imong died.
And was that in the 60s?
I think that was in the fucking 50s.
Dude, holy shit, this guy's.
Because in the 40s, Imong was.
Yeah, what an OG.
He's in the. So he doesn't fuck around, but his body is found in a sack floating down a river. Details are sparse. People believe it's because he fucked up a job. But maybe we add sack floating down the river to our list of terrible ways to die.
I think so. I will say I've heard that threat in the Philippines.
Yeah?
Like not to me directly, but you hear it thrown around. It's like. Like, you know, your body's going to be floating down the river in a sack or something like that.
Yeah, I could see. I mean, that's a terrifying thing.
I wonder if it got popularized
because of Davino?
And they're like, oh, dude, that's like, we should start.
That's going to be our thing now, right?
Yeah, the sack thing. That was kind of, who came up with that? But no, that sounds terrible, though. clear. It's such a scary threat.
Yeah, it's a terrible. I mean, because one, I'm claustrophobic. Mm. Two, you're back to drowning again. And imagine trying to swim in a sack.
Oh, my God. Yeah, dude.
What's the river there? You got a big-ass scary river?
In Manila. I forget what the main river is called, but it's a dirty-ass river.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a dirty river.
Clear evidence of torture was found in Navino's corpse. It was speculated that he was deliberately made to suffer a slow and painful death. In the 1980s, with Navino, the remaining 80s, so the end of the 80s, with Navino dead, centralized leadership is gone from the gang. Prison cliques in the Philippines continue to just demonstrate a leadership over street gangs. American cliques never really had a central leadership. It's very comparable to the 18th Street gang, the BNG is. They start, you know, fighting with each other. In all, in the late 80s, all Asian gangs start increasing during this decade. So this is what I think. This is why I think the BNG and stuff like that isn't quite as noticed as other gangs we've heard of. Mm-hmm. Is because since I've done this podcast, I've noticed if you keep your crime and your gangs and stuff to your own culture and neighborhood, the cops and everything, they're still going to kind of get you in trouble, but they're not going to really get you in trouble. But then when you start branching out to, like, other neighborhoods, fighting with different gangs, stuff like that, because, you know, the Filipino culture, I'm guessing, is a closer culture, and you stuff like that, so the keeping secrets in. But
so, yeah. So as long as it's, like, contained.
Contained.
They're contained to, like, a culture thing. So, like, okay, well, we're going to let them do their own thing. They'll figure it out.
Or they don't even hear about it, you know?
Yeah. I think maybe there's some psychology with it in the police world or any world like that, they assume that, okay, their ecosystem will figure it out.
Yeah.
They'll, like, contain themselves.
Yeah, or some racist thing where it's like, well, they haven't hurt white people yet, so.
Yeah, yeah, kind of. Maybe that's true.
Summer of the 1990s. Ooh, we start going to, the BNG starts to try to get a little bit bigger here. In the 1990s, 12 members of the BNG clique in Stockton, California shoot up a taco stand in broad daylight.
Whoa.
Two people are killed, 20 plus other are injured.
First of all, shooting up a taco stand, that's nobody evil. Likes that.
Evil.
Nobody, like, they're so good to you.
Yeah.
That would for sure, see, this is where they're starting to probably lose us. Some hate. Yeah.
Yeah, this is when they start getting known. And then a little bit later, then they get on the fucking FBI's watch list.
The taco stand the is taco where it started, dude.
And what they do next is really fucked up, these other guys. So this makes national news because 12 members are arrested and charged at the same time. Hmm. This is crazy what they do, these guys. Each of the 12 has their nuts shocked by Filipino police. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, God, I was going to say, like, they just brought it back, huh?
Each of the 12 is charged with 29 counts of murder, attempted murder, assault with a deadly weapon, mayhem, conspiracy, and battery. So those guys are done.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
So the rivalry with the Sigay-Sigay continue in both parts of the world. Apparently the Sigay-Sigay is here, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The BNG sees himself as superior because they only allow pure-blood Filipinos in the gang, whereas the Sigay-Sigay is blended with Latino members in their city.
So the Sigay-Sigay starts to blend in with others. Mm-hmm. BNG is still straight Filipino.
Straight Filipinos.
Okay.
The BNG grows the most in San Francisco area and Northern California. Sigay-Sigay tend to dominate the LA areas and keep their rivals out and hold in the small cliques. So then we're coming to the end right now. I'm just going to do another little summary action.
Okay.
This area saw the growth of BNG in the U.S. BNG is even more disorganized than the U.S. with cliques fighting each other, as well as Satanas and Latino gangs like 18th Street. During this era, BNG begins to lose ground to the Sigay-Sigay on the streets as well as in the prisons. This could largely explain why the gang is generally under the radar to most people, as their activities are largely centered in Filipino communities and the violence doesn't spread elsewhere like it has with gangs like MS-13, the Crips, and the Blood. Mm. Only a few things bring them in the national spotlight. In the U.S., like the taco stand shooting.
Damn, that was a big... The taco stand shooting. Even that's like... It sounds like that was an event in history.
Yeah, I mean...
Don't shoot up taco stands. That's where the mistakes happen.
I wonder if you could ask your parents if they remember. Were they here yet in the 80s? No.
They got here in 90... Well, actually, no. My mom grew up out here.
Oh.
So, yeah.
You should be a mom. You ever remember a taco stand shooting in Stockton with a bunch of Filipinos?
We tried to erase that from history.
What happens next is way worse, right. Dude.
Oh, no.
Way worse.
Thing? I don't believe you, but let me hear it.
This is in the 2000s, so we're coming. I guess not really. It's still 20 years ago. Jesus Christ. 2000s. The gangs begin to spread more in the United States, branching out to form cliques in Vegas, Chicago, and across the East Coast. Shabu starts to become a regular drug sold by the BNG in the Filipinos.
I heard of this, yeah.
Philippines. Shabu is meth. Oh, here you go. Ooh, yeah, this is a fun one. Jeffany, what are some bad words in Tagalog?
Oh, dude, there's some. What
do you have anything for cocaine, weed, anything like that, and then we'll go into maybe.
I don't remember the drug words, but I know there's like the curse word. Like I always hear like putang en amor. I think putang en amor. I think putang en amor is like son of a whore or something like that. Putang en amor. Yeah. Putang en amor. Fuck. I see. Now I forgot all the shit that my dad would say when we did something bad.
Under his breath, putang en amor. Putang en amor.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we are at the creme de. Oh, I'm not gonna let you see them yet.
Oh, dude. This looks like a Deadline article of like Asians who just got cast in a thing. That's all I saw was the hair.
Yeah, it's the hair. Yeah. I had one of their haircuts for sure. July 2007, the BNG makes national news due to the activities of three new members looking to make a name for themselves in the organization. Three members engage on an online fight with a victim. So these guys are almost our exact age.
Oh, because they're 18 and 2007.
No, they're eight. These guys, these three members, are 18 in 2007.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So they're close to us. We would have been in high school at the same time. Mm-hmm. The victim of the crime was talking trash about the BNG to these three guys. These three members find out where he lives and abduct the victim.
Damn. Why? What's this guy thinking talking shit to a gang online?
He probably was just like, you guys aren't as hard as you think you are.
Wait, is this guy another gang member?
No, he's only a 15-year-old kid. That's why I can't say his name.
Oh,
and wow. What they do to this kid. The BNG members proceed to nearly, not completely, sever his arm off with a bolo knife.
Jeez.
A bolo knife is a machete.
Yeah.
It's the same exact thing. The victim's arm is reportedly only held together by his bone because gang members could not sever the bone with their bolo knife.
Damn.
The gang members were charged with malicious wounding, and it was revealed during their trial that this was an initiation rite intended to make them full-fledged members of the Virginia clique. Oh, these guys actually aren't in Northern California.
Wow. Okay.
The three members, they're older than us, too. Well, one guy would have been our age. Three members were 20, 21, 18, and they attacked a 15-year-old, which is why I don't have his gang. We never got his name.
Because if they're younger than 18, you can't put the name out in the news. Okay. Yeah.
So this is the guys. Drum roll, please. I've seen this guy before, for sure.
Oh, for sure.
I had that guy's haircut.
I used to break dance with that guy.
Yeah, this guy seems normal. These guys seem like trouble. This guy seems like trouble.
Dude, that's crazy, man. I remember they got caught, though.
Yeah, they all got caught. They're in jail.
Fuck.
Still. I mean, yeah, I went to a high school version of all three of these guys. They look like shitheads. How can we describe this guy?
I mean, I don't know, man. Like, I feel like whatever I say, he's going to be mad. Like, you know when you crack a joke and then, like, you know the guy's mad at, like, dude, I'm joking, man.
I picture him wearing a tall tee, maybe some Gerbo jeans, some dirty white Air Force Ones. He's got a crop haircut, looks very stoned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just want to make sure, like, they know that I'm joking because I want to keep my arm.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, when do they get out? That's the thing. Like, so when you said, how do I describe him? Seems like handsome. A nice guy.
Handsome. Seems forgiving. He's understanding.
Forgiving. Empathetic.
Empathetic.
Seems like he has a good sense of humor to me. Loves
roasts. He can take a joke. This guy right here, he looks a little more Hispanic. This guy, he just does not look like he'd be hacking someone's shirt off.
Honestly, dude, the spiky hair guy, like, I was probably friends with him at a certain age. Yeah. We would, like, for sure watch anime, play video games till 6 in the morning. Mm-hmm. But then when you're at school, like, you're hard as fuck. But, like, at sleepovers, like, he was...
He's giggling.
Yeah, he opened up.
In pizza pockets.
Yeah.
All right. 2008. A copy of Gang Task Force Manual from this year is put online for the Glenview Police Department. The manual details how to spot and detect Filipino gangs. This is one of my favorite things.
Yeah.
What they look like.
I want to hear this.
Labels BNG as a minor threat in LA area due to their focus on Northern California. The Satanas is labeled as the strongest Filipino gang in the LA area. Filipino gangs are listed as the second most prevalent gang after Chinese gangs. Good job.
Hell yeah.
Take that, Yakuza.
Yeah, we did it.
The ages range normally from 18 to 25, and members over 30 being labeled as seniors in all the Filipino gangs, the Satanas, the Sige-Sige, and the BNG.
Hmm.
Labels BNG as the biggest Filipino gang in the San Francisco area and mentions that they are by far the most likely to commit violent acts out of all the Filipino gangs in the area. This is great. They fully describe the Filipino gang style.
I'm so ready for that. I'm reading some of it right now.
Yeah,
like,
if you think of a guy in your head.
Yeah.
So their hairstyles will be a pompadour with a long flip or a tail, a shaved head or a close buzz, a hat with maybe some gang initials, very colorful dress shirts that are left untucked, dark baggy pants, Vans shoes, always. Keep in mind this is 2008.
I know this guy. Like, legit know this guy. Yeah.
So if you see some Filipinos dressed this way,
Vans. I like how it says Vans shoes.
Always.
It's not even Vans shoes. Contendu. Mm. It's like literally this guy showers in his Vans shoes.
If he puts on Adidas, he will get his arm almost severed off. The Filipino gangs in the LAR are consistently fighting with Latino gangs. Graffiti and tattoos are common amongst most Filipino gangs. This is the Bahala Na gang tattoo.
Damn.
I like the lettering. It's pretty good. Kind of like tribal letter. Question mark. Terrible.
Yeah. That's I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah, you're right. Should do that one. I'm not going to cut it, but you don't say anything. Okay. This is more of a, I believe, a Filipino kind of one, like the Philippines.
Yeah.
Not bad. Intimidating.
That reminds me of the, like, it looks like a DMX album.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it looks like, yeah, it does look like that one. This one, it's just a BNG kind of done, looks like with a, just, not old English, but like a variance of an old English thing. I would say intimidating if I saw that someone with that tattoo on their back.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he looks like he's also wearing a rosary, too. So it's cool that they're all, like, still, like...
Well, you're not supposed to wear rosaries.
You're not?
It's not a necklace.
Oh, interesting. Because it has the one... You see the one hole right there? One, two, three, four. It
doesn't come off, though.
Yeah. Damn, I don't know what he's wearing, then.
But no, it's a rosary.
Like, oh, yeah.
People wear rosaries. I just don't think you're supposed to.
Filipinos would, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, you don't know how... Filipinos are very Catholic.
I know, but I don't think nuns don't wear them. Like, I don't think you're supposed to wear it. I think you're supposed to keep it in your hand or your pocket.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I mean, if you didn't have a necklace, that was the only necklace you have. This is their BNG Facebook group. You know, I would describe it to that. You don't have to say anything because you're a little closer to the culture. Okay. This one, it's like a Filipino Viking, two axes. I go. Everything looks pretty sinister. I mean, it looks a little Celtic. There's a lot of Celtic stuff on the sides. So this was taken from a Facebook group that is a public Facebook group of a clique based in Northern California.
Oh, wait, that's still today?
Yeah, yeah. This was a Facebook group.
Oh, snap.
This is what they were using as their thing.
Whoa.
Pretty good. I just don't like this guy.
I mean, the part that has, like, chapter reminds me of the, there's a thing out here that's like motorcycle riders thing.
Hell's Angels?
What am I thinking of? I can't think of the name right now.
I went to a fucking bar today and there were six guys.
Hell's Angels?
It was like another biker gang, but like they were real because they had two guys that had the prospect patch on it.
Yeah,
and he had none of the stuff, so I was like, oh, they gotta be. And I went in the bathroom. It's kind of like you ever go to a shitty bath or a shitty bar, and there's like chalkboards in the bathroom.
Oh yeah, yeah. Sure.
Mm-hmm. And so in my head, I'm always like, I don't want to touch the chalk because some guy's cock was touching his hand.
Yeah, touch his dick, touching the chalk. Now by degree of separation.
Yeah,
he touched his cock.
Yeah, and so by degree of I'm sucking on his cock because I'm eating the chalk. Yeah. Some guy wrote on the chalkboard, "Don't look at me, you faggot."
That was on the chalkboard.
That's all he wrote with wiener chalk.
What happened in there?
Yeah.
Like, so and who's weird. That message for?
So weird.
Yeah. Fuck.
Only Filipino and Chinese gangs regularly use graffiti and tattoos as identifiers amongst Asian gangs in America. The BNG clique in San Francisco are separated by dialect and region of the Philippines that members and their families come from. So, like he said, reason that these guys weren't getting in trouble for a long time is because they fight each other.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, you're still in the BNG, but I'm fighting someone from Manila because I'm from wherever your dad's.
Yeah,
from.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So there's a lot of their crimes are directed at Filipinos.
You know?
Interesting.
And that's if you don't want to get in trouble. But they also fight a lot of 18th Street gang, mainly in Southern California.
Okay.
And then I already said that part about the thing of you don't get in trouble if you don't attack people. That sort of thing. The BNG doesn't really experience much notoriety in the 2000s beyond the arm severing incident. Good incident, though.
It's weird that, it was a good incident. Taco stand shooting.
Yeah.
Not. I almost feel like that one's worse than the arm severing thing.
Taco
like,
stand?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, it's not, but emotionally.
It's like killing someone at church. It's like, this is a holy place.
Yeah. It's like shooting a dog.
It's like shooting a dog.
Who could do that?
You. I'm not going to yell at you guys. You're still kind of scary.
Yeah.
You're hopping people's arms off and shooting up taco stands.
True.
The 2010s to now, 2011, BNG makes it to the FBI's list for national gang threat assessment.
Yeah.
Congrats to them. That's a big moment.
It's a good day for the gang. That's from their first reviews as psychopathic.
Pathic in nature. Took them 50 years and they did it. Congrats, guys. Good job. The past decade has been relatively quiet for the gang in America. Violence is mainly in the San Francisco area where BNG related shootings and drug trafficking happen regularly. Their activities are not enough to catch national spotlight since the arm severing incident. 2016, we're going to go back to the Philippines. That's not a Filipino accent.
It's getting pretty current. Yeah, I felt it.
2016, Rodrigo Duterte, I said Duterte.
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 Yeah, not bad.
Duterte. See, this is my thing.
It's kind of Italian.
Yeah, you're right. Well, see, okay, see, I always feel like, okay, doing like a Spanish accent or Filipino accent outside of speaking Spanish or
Tagalog, yeah,
is bad. So then I feel like sometimes when I'm trying to speak another language, this is a little, I should just be plain Jane.
I've seen that where like,
I'm like, I should just not
like,
do anything.
Like, do you try the accent or not? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've, cause I did something in France where I was like saying my name more French. They're like, dude, just fucking say your name.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know, dude.
But then I feel like
I'm
another
trying to please you.
Yeah. But then you say their thing wrong. They're like, that does not how you say it. Don't you
think yeah, exactly. That's why at the end of the day, you just do it how you're going to do it. Cause someone's going to be mad.
Yeah.
But
hey, man,
yeah,
that is a wonderful thing to say about anything.
Yeah,
that's your just want to get buy your friend a better sandwich. You had in the other day.
Exactly, dude. Thanks, man. I'm glad I have one now. I'm back to doing comedy.
Just do whatever you need to do because someone's gonna get mad either way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 2016, Rodrigo Duterte is elected as president of the Philippines, and his administration comes hard after all gangs and drugs. Now, like I said earlier, I've heard some Filipinos really liked Duterte.
Yeah. Well, it's like it's kind of like however you feel about Trump, you know, some people were like, how could anyone ever? He was president.
Yeah.
Same with Duterte. He got elected. There's a lot of people that really rocked with him.
Oh, was it? Do they have actual elections there? It's not like weirdo shit.
No, they do. But I mean, I think there was some documentary my family's watching. I'm sure there's like some things going on that are sketchier in the in the government there. There's definitely that stuff happening. But like the story that people really liked, he was almost like, if you liked him, I think the narrative was that he was like this Robin Hood, clean, like guy who came up from sort of like a poor thing, an everyman, and he was cleaning up the streets in the Philippines.
Yeah.
Because I think he held some office that was more, let's say like city rather than national.
Mm-hmm.
And he did the same thing there, which is like went really hard on like,
it's like
drugs.
A mayor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then so people saw that and they're like, oh yeah, he's going to do that with the country.
And
so and that's why he went that way. So now like, but there is a lot of controversy in the sense of like journalists who were killed or silenced.
Yeah.
So that's the.
Yeah, but if you're like, I'm not a journalist or someone who does meth, I don't really care then that he's.
And that's the thing, too, because some people, let's say your community has been really like fucked up for a long time. They don't care how you get it done. They just want to get it done. So, but there's also other stuff like on the other side that I don't really know. But that's the thing I've heard for the people who are praising him.
Cool. This sends ripples throughout the criminal community, and he takes a zero tolerance policy on drugs and gang activity. Since coming into power, Duterte has denied prisoner rights and proceeded to overcrowd prisons. Prisons meant to hold under 1,000 inmates currently have well over 3,000 inmates. Medications are denied to prisoners. Late 2015, one prison had a tuberculosis outbreak that ended up killing several BNG prison gang members. October of 2016, six members of the BNG are gunned down by police for selling and distributing meth. So that's a big thing he did that he's zero. When we say zero tolerance, it means death.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're dealing drugs, you get caught with drugs, you will die unless probably you have a prominent family. And then if you're in a gang, you will be killed or taken to jail with no anything.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, obviously, I don't want to say too much on Duterte
because
it's like it's pretty divisive or whatever. But I think like I said, the people who love him for that stuff. Like, oh, he's gonna get shit done. But also, it's like the ways that he's doing.
Yeah, it's
stuff,
pretty shady.
Yeah, it's pretty shady.
Or like, it's, you know, to some people.
There's a good documentary. I'm trying to remember who it is. Like, this journalist really spoke up about him, and
they died, right?
I don't know what, I forget what happened to them, but it was like really a risk for them to do that because they could die.
And, or if they escape, then he'd probably go after, or he could, or someone would go after their family.
So it really threatens just like, you know, free speech, like a basic right out there. So, yeah. Getting real.
June 2017, a riot broke out in the Metro Manila jail between BNG members and the Sige-Sige. The riot happened due to a power outage. As soon as the power was out, the gangs rushed each other and began fighting.
Damn.
Prison guards were completely unable to stop the gang clash, mainly because the prisons are way too overpacked for these prison guards to even do anything. One member from each gang died, and 17 inmates had injuries that needed to be treated. Shivs were employed by both sides, as both sides had members with several stab wounds.
Woo.
August 2017. Across Manila, 25 different gang members are killed in shootouts with police during various drug busts and gang crackdowns. November 2017. A riot breaks out in Quezon City Jail. Did I say that right?
Quezon City.
Quezon City.
It's actually where I was born.
Really? That's
Quezon
cool.
City. It's near Manila. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yep.
While BNG members were taking a member having a seizure to get medical help. While transporting the seizing gang member, they actually spilled a pail of water on a rival gang member. The rival gang member woke up and began fighting, and a brawl broke out between the BNG members and a rival gang. They attacked each other with chairs and rocks, and ultimately a BNG member died from his injuries during the fight. Now, this next picture is I'm going to show you what the Philippine jails are like.
Oh, my God. I can already kind of imagine, but yeah.
I think what really gets me is after you watch it for a while, you'll actually... I don't even want to say it. I'll tell you in a second.
Yeah, yeah. All
right. So, okay. So, this is them, right?
They're This is just regular?
This is jail.
Jeez.
This is a fucking staircase, guy.
Oh, my God.
Each guy gets to sleep on a stair.
Dude. I mean, if you're claustrophobic now... Dude, this is an apartment in L.A. This is like, you know what I mean? This is how you save. But like legit, if you're claustrophobic now, dude, this makes me feel like ugh. Like
so what we're looking at is a pink
like stairwell.
Stairwell. Let's think of it just old concrete stairwell.
It reminds me of old like school. Like an old school, the way that the handrail is.
Yep. Yeah. And then each guy gets to sleep on a stair.
Yeah, dude.
So if you could imagine how fucking uncomfortable that would be to be sleeping on a stair with a guy above you and a guy below you.
That's inhumane for sure. That's crazy.
Amazing. Amazing stuff.
Imagine like, this is jail?
Yeah, this is gang members are crowded in a Filipino jail. You can see why a fight would break out.
Oh, yeah.
6/2018. 8 BNG members are arrested for trafficking shabu, methamphetamine. Shabu seems to be the most popular drug currently in the Philippines, probably because it's cheap. Anyone can make it. There's stuff you can get it anywhere. Currently, the Philippines have a zero-tolerance policy against drug dealers and distributors. It is estimated that President Duterte is responsible for the death of at least 12,000 Filipino gang members, drug dealers, and drug users since he came into power. The BNG still has cliques operating Filipino prisons on the streets of the Philippines and in many places across the U.S., but they are not nearly as fair today as they were in the 1960s. During the golden era of the gangs. And this right here is an American gang. That's kind of sick.
That's kind of sick, dude.
Yeah, they've really upgraded that.
The style.
Yeah, so it's kind of... Yeah, it's a great jacket.
Dude, if somebody was selling that and I didn't know anything about it, I'd be like, yeah.
If you're like, just Philip, it was just Tagalog?
Yeah.
Because they got the question mark good.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? The other one was kind of like...
Was it like backwards before?
The other one was kind of like the Comedy Spots one. Like, it really was. Yeah. This one is like a fucking... I've never even seen it before. It's like an old English kind of... So if you guys watch
my... It's kind of sick.
Yeah, it's kind of... It's a sick-ass jacket. It's like a black jean jacket.
But also, you know, maybe the other one was sick back then. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this looks cool because we're here today. The typeface now. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So if you guys want to see any of the pictures of these guys, I do put it in my videos. So check my Instagram out. JR, thank you for doing the podcast,
dude,
buddy.
Thanks for doing it.
Hopefully you learned some stuff. Hopefully I didn't say anything too stupid.
I think we're good.
All right, buddy. Thanks very much. How can people get a hold of you and check out your stuff?
Well, Instagram, JRDGUZ. YouTube, just look up my name.
Yeah, just look up his name.
I got a podcast too, Bits and Beats.
Check it all out. It's a musical thing, right?
Yeah, we're making... Basically, you should get on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have you on it.
I would love to.
I'll interview you and we make a beat based on the interview at the end. Awesome. It gets real silly.
Sounds fun. I've seen the clips and they look good.
Yeah.
Those gotta pop off soon.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Peace.